Good evening to all of you. I am usually one that's cold and glad for a coat, but tonight I feel warm and at home. I'm glad to be here. It's been, I don't know how many years since I was here, and I remember my memories of this congregation are that it was just a small group of people. I was warned that the Pine Creek congregation is a large congregation, and the church house will probably be full, and I'm glad to see that tonight. I love full church houses because it tells me that people care about the things of life that really matter. And so I'm glad that you're here tonight, and I'm glad that we can anticipate, like our brother said, looking into God's Word together. Thank you, brother, for your devotional thoughts. Very good inspiration, good springboard to the message that you all have assigned me tonight. The subject has been introduced, Godly Relationships in Youth. I'm also glad to be here tonight because of you youth, connecting with some that I connected with last winter at Bible school. It's good to see some of your faces again and be here, and looking forward to sharing with you and reacquainting ourselves over this weekend again. Relationships, godly relationships. Tonight, the truth is we all have relationships, right? You think back in your life, you think in this past week, you were relating to other people, other folks, relating to families, relating to friends, relating to neighbors, community. Relationships, they're good. We cherish them, we want them. Relationships in youth. I would love to ask you youth tonight, as you think about your relationships, I guess your mind probably with mine goes to your youth group, those that you mingle with, relate to, that your friendships are with. If I were to ask you tonight how you would rate your relationships in the youth, in your youth group, how would you rate them? What would you say? Are they satisfying? Are they enjoyable? Are they upbuilding? Or are they, do you sometimes go away with a feeling of emptiness? Are they superficial? Can they be trusted? Do you trust your fellow youth? Can you trust them? Do they trust you? Can they trust you? Those are some things we want to consider tonight. I don't have any reason to believe that you young people don't have good relationships tonight, and I want you to know that. I believe you do. But I also am aware that our brother warned us that we do have an enemy that is out to destroy not only our souls, but one of the ways he uses is to destroy relationships. It's one of the ways he uses to do that. And so this subject needs to be looked at and be spoke about tonight as youth. Perhaps you never thought about it, but just now, just where you are as young people, young men and young women, you may be, probably are, experiencing the most carefree years that you will ever experience. Likely you have no family to support. I say likely because sometimes youth find themselves without a father or parents, and especially I'm thinking of a father, the provider of the home. I know some youth who, young men, who needed to step up and actually help their mother and siblings support themselves. So I say likely you have no family to support. Your health is good. You're probably as strong as you ever will be. And so tonight, because so many things may seem like they're going your way, you can easily begin to think that living the present life, and living what you're experiencing now in the present, is what life is all about. It's always going to be this way. It's always going to go good. It's always going to be fun. I can handle. Well, we're going to consider some things tonight, and you think about that. I think life has a way of changing. Probably some of the older brethren would be, and I see some heads nodding back there already. They're saying, yeah, it's not always that way. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. What does the Bible say about youth? So I sat down and I started pondering this subject. My mind went to what Solomon had to say to the young men. And I think we'll start there tonight, because it is good that you enjoy youth. It's good that you enjoy this time of life. It's good that you enjoy the strength that you have, the energy that you have, the things that you have. It's good that you enjoy it. And Solomon tells us that. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I'd like to read verse 9 and verse 10. Where it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." That sounds like what I just got finished saying, doesn't it? Rejoice in life now, and let your heart cheer you, and enjoy it, have fun. But, he says, "Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk not in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know that thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So he's telling you to enjoy it, and he's telling you to walk in the ways of your heart. In other words, the desires that are in your heart, the desires that God puts there, I'm going to say, are good and right. And the things that you know that are right. But you also need to realize that God is going to bring you into judgment. And then in verse 10 he says, "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put evil away from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." So he gives us a warning here. Solomon is saying, enjoy life. Enjoy the experiences of a young life now. But he's saying, don't do anything physically, morally, or spiritually, I'm going to say, that will prevent you from enjoying life when you're old. I think that's what Solomon is saying. I just paraphrase what I think, what I understand those verses to mean. He says, enjoy life, but be careful with the choices that you make in youth, and don't ruin life for yourself later on. In chapter 12, in verse 1 then, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." In the days of youth, "while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Here he's saying, remember God. Remember who created you. Remember why you are here. Remember that God has a plan for your life. I ran across a quote that I'd like to share with you. It said this: "As a school without a teacher, a ship without a captain, a train without an engineer, a plane without a pilot, a child without a parent, so is a world without God." You think about that and you might smile at the thought of a plane without a pilot, a train without an engineer, a school without a teacher. Can you imagine what school's like without a teacher? But the author of this quote is saying, so is life without God. Without God, that's what life would be like. And I'm going to add to that, without God and his definition and direction of what is right and what is wrong and what life is all about. Now, the same man that said, enjoy life, young man, remember God, also said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, our heart, our feelings, our desires, the things that swell up within us and that we want to do will largely dictate, they will dictate to a great extent how we live, how we relate. And so he says, give diligence that the things that you do, that you relate to, that you get involved in, he says, concentrate on that. Think about it is what give diligent means. To those things, those desires, give diligent to those that they will, I'm going to say, keep you or push you in the right path of life, in the right direction. Think about it and choose wisely. Well, why am I saying all this? I think I'm saying all this tonight because what is guiding our heart is going to affect our relationship with those around us, with our parents, with our siblings, with the youth group at church, with our peers. And so this evening, our focus is youth, young people. I don't want to keep you real long tonight. I have probably a half a dozen main points that I'd like to just focus on tonight and some direction that I would like to give to youth so that you can have good, you can have godly relationships, that you can enjoy them, and that when you're my age, that you can look back in all fondness on your relationships and not have any bad memories of your youth, time spent as youth, so that it could be a time of living many years and rejoicing in them and remembering them and knowing that they were well spent. First of all, my first main point is godly youth must have personal integrity. Our brother already alluded to this. I heard him say that phrase. You need to have the integrity, he said. You need to have personal integrity. Without personal integrity, there's going to be defeat. What I mean by personal integrity is the fact that you must think about where you want to end up at in life now and put some things in place, put some foundational principles in place in your heart and in your mind now and say that, look, I will not cross these lines. Remember Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to do certain things. And the time came when Daniel was tested in those things, when the tests became real, and he could stand. Why? Because he had purpose. He had personal integrity to stand. You see, without personal integrity, things can go really, really south real fast. Let me just read a story to you. I found this somewhat interesting. I hadn't thought about this and hadn't read this story for quite a while, but you all heard of the Great Wall of China, the wall that was built in China. It's a fascinating wall. This wall was the only man-made project visible to the human eye from space. It's 4,000 miles long, approximately 7 million steps. The wall goes over 5,000 foot mountains. It stands 20 to 30 foot high and about 20 feet wide. Every 40 to 60 yards, there is a 40-foot watchtower. The Great Wall had an important purpose. Before it was built, barbarians to the north would invade. The wall was designed to prevent the enemy from defeating and overrunning the Chinese Empire. Constructing the Great Wall required a great amount of labor required the greatest amount of labor in history. The Empire, Jingzhong Heiwing Tai, commanded every man in China to work on the wall. Thousands upon thousands died while working on it. Their bodies were placed between the two sides of the wall and covered with dirt, making the wall the world's largest graveyard. It seemed the Great Wall would provide foolproof security, It was too high to climb over, too thick to break down, and too long to go around. However, during the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was invaded 3 times. How? It was not the fault of the wall. Not once did the barbarian hordes climb over it, breaking it down, or go around it. So how did they get into China? The enemy understood human nature. They simply bribed the gatekeepers and then marched right through the gate. The Chinese placed too much reliance on the wall and failed to build character in their gatekeepers. And I read you that story tonight because that is exactly what will happen in our experiences and in our life if we do not have personal integrity. Tonight, there are many things that you face as youth. The world has changed a lot, and yet I, in my youth, have faced the very similar things that you are facing today, just in different ways. The enemy was just as subtle as he is today. But today, there are new avenues and new ways that you face the enemy, and you must have personal integrity. And one of the things that I think about, I'm not going to talk about a lot of these things, but I would like tonight talk a little bit about the modern day technology that we have. We carry technology in our pockets today that when I was a youth we didn't have to carry. And it's technology that you can use to relate to your fellow youth. And there's something about it that seems like it's not quite as serious when we use technology to communicate, to relate to each other, as when we meet people face to face and talk to them. And therefore, I believe this is an area where you tonight need to have personal integrity. It's something that we carry with us. It's that small device that you have. You can hide it. You can look at it wherever you want to. It's a device that I believe requires personal integrity, and I'd just like to encourage us in that tonight. One of our fathers recently said to me, he said that one of his youth came home and he said, "You know, Dad," he said, "the technology we have and the things that are happening with our technology," he said, "the only way to keep your heart pure with it anymore is to have personal integrity. Make up your mind that you're not going to." And that resonated with me. And I just share that with you tonight. It's one of the areas I'd really like to encourage you in, because it's a real world. It's the world we live in. It's that among many, many, many other things. The second thing I'd like to give you some admonition with tonight, when I think of godly relationships in youth, godly relationships, and this follows right in with this thought, but we all know what it is like to face the pressures of life. Whenever you start relating to society, you start relating to other youth, other young people, well, we all do in our own age brackets. We relate to our peers. I'll call it peer pressure is what it is. It's peer pressure. Young people, God often designs this as a test of to see how strong our backbone is. He uses people in our life. He brings people into our life for this very thing. It's another area in which we must have integrity. Think of the bravery and the consistency of the three youth that the Bible talks about. We have that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We read about in Daniel chapter 3. When Nebuchadnezzar made that great image and he cried out and he told everybody to bow down to it and to worship it, first came the invitation to them. And all the rulers in the province, they gathered together at the dedication of this. They were invited to it. Next came the command, bow down to it. You need to do this. And then the herald cried out, "You were commanded to do this." And you know what? The pressure just kept put on. being put on. After a while, they were told, whoever doesn't fall down to this and worship is going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And it tells us that the furnace, the fire was blue, the furnace was hot. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but just think about the pressure that was there on these three youth. I actually believe that maybe they looked over there on the hill and they saw the furnace and they saw the fire and they saw how hot it was. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us that. I'm just letting my mind run. But the bottom line is there was pressure put on them. And those youth said, no, we're not going to do that. We won't bow down. Why? Because they had made up their mind ahead of time what they will do. Who they're going to serve. They were going to serve God, and they weren't going to give in. And so when the tests came, they were prepared for it. Tonight, determine in your life that you're going to keep yourself pure. Determine in your life that you're not going to get involved in the things that you know are not right, the things that the Bible says you shouldn't be involved in. Determine in your heart ahead of time what you will allow and what you won't allow, and be prepared for those tests, because they will come. The three Hebrews passed the test, and we know the rest of the story. Thirdly, godly relationships in youth begin when each understands the value of true friends and of being a true friend. I'd like to talk about this a while. Proverbs says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Jesus also said that I was a stranger and ye took me in. I don't know how many of you young people here can remember. I'm sure you all can remember a time when you went with your parents somewhere that you just dreaded to go because you really didn't know the people that were there. You really didn't. Well, I guess I think about that because my children grew up being ministers' children, and we traveled around a lot to a lot of other churches. And when they knew we were going to another church somewhere, it was always like, we don't know anybody there. We don't know where the Sunday school rooms are. We don't know this and we don't know that. And you know what? When they got there and that stranger came along and invited them in, it made them feel so much better. And so build good friendships with not just your youth group at home, with those that you know, but with youth everywhere, young people everywhere. Build good relationships. Make friends. Remember what it's like to be the stranger and feel that way, and reach out to others wherever you can. You know, the time came when my young people took off to Bible school, right, like you all did. And they found when they got to Bible school, because they had made so many friends traveling with Dad and Mom over the years, that they knew a lot of the young people that came to Bible school, and then they were glad that they had made those friendships. I just put that out to you all. Make friends. Someday they'll be there, and you'll be glad you made those friends. You must show yourself friendly. Be a friend and take an interest in people. Take godly relationships among youth. Come from youth that take an interest in each other. They don't just focus on their own lives, their own interests. Talk about themselves and their own jobs and those kind of things. But they take interest in other people and their lives and so on. James talks about that. We're not going to turn there. But James talks about being a respecter of persons. And this ought not to be. We shouldn't just pick out certain individuals and relate to them. I understand tonight that you all will have some close friends, some people that are closer to you than others. That's not what I'm talking about. But to actually evade some people. I remember growing up in my youth group was somewhat different than it is in your setting. I grew up in a conference where the youth, well, it was a little bit like our youth institute at Svetar, where you all get together from all the churches. Well, it was a little bit that way almost every weekend where I grew up at. We had youth from from all over, several hundred of us would get together. And so you didn't learn to know all the youth. But there was youth. I especially remember one young man that often showed up, and I never learned to know him that well myself. But he was a young man that had, he was a needy young man. He had some mental, things that weren't just as well. Today we would say that maybe sometimes we use this expression that the elevator didn't run quite to the top. And I guess it was a case where we could say that was a little bit how it was. But you know what I remember about that? That boy got mocked. He got laughed at. But he was a boy that just played along with that. It didn't seem like it bothered him. He wouldn't let anybody know that he was hurt. He would kind of play along with it. And so it just kept on building. And this was weekend after weekend when he showed up. There were sly comments made about him. He had a nickname of Low Baby, is what his nickname was. And everybody called him that because he was... Yeah, somewhat childish. That went along with his nature. But you know what? He never got married. When he was in about his upper 20s, one day that boy dropped over dead all of a sudden and passed away. And I believe there was a lot of young people that looked back with a lot of regrets for the way they had used Lowe in his life. I believe that. And so I just share that little story with you tonight because the Bible says that we're not to be a respecter of persons. God made everybody. God made every youth. And God wants you to relate to every youth and be friends with every youth and reach out and take an interest in life, in their lives. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Watch out for the underdog is what I'm trying to say, because there's an underdog in just about every youth group somewhere. How should I say this? You might not look at him as an underdog, but I believe in every youth group there are young people who feel like underdogs. Maybe it's that shy youth that stays in the background and doesn't get so real involved in things sometimes, doesn't have a lot to say, and they just feel out of place. Those are the ones to try to befriend and draw them out and take a special interest in them and help them along. And I remember some young people who it seemed like were always on the outlook for underdogs and always befriended underdogs. I know older people who are like that yet, and I believe it's because they practiced, they used that gift back then. They exercised the gift. And so today it's a part of their life, and they're still exercising the gift. They're making friendships in their older years with other people because of that. And so do that. Number four, godly relationships in youth will have no fellowship with the works of darkness. And I'm going to go back to the same chapter that our brother took his devotions out of. I want you to look at a few other verses. I think maybe he did read the one verse, but go to Ephesians chapter 5. I think he did read verse 11 towards the end then. It says, but have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I want to bring verse 12 into focus yet. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Godly relationships among youth, among all of us, should have no fellowship with the works of darkness. It says that we should prove what is acceptable unto God. In other words, be involved in relationships, in things that God can put his blessing on, that God can honor, God can put a smile of approval on. Discern what pleases God. If you discern what pleases God, then your relationships among youth are going to be relationships that please God. And if they please God, then they're going to be a benefit to each other. Other people will enjoy the relationship. You can enjoy the relationship. Rather than saying at times, well, I don't see what's wrong with it, say, how does God look at this? Test the activity by God's righteousness and by God's word. And ask if it's going to be a help. Is it going to help me? Is it going to help my fellow youth? If we get involved in that, what kind of influence is it going to have in my life and in my heart and among the others? Verse 12, and I think one of the areas that this comes out at is in our speech. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. I'd like to say tonight that good godly relationships among youth require speech that is discreet. Be careful in your speech. Be careful what you say. Don't advocate or promote sin or detail sensational descriptions of sin. Those are temptations that we all have. And I believe especially young people. I can think back to my youth group and some of the things that were said at times that were said in ways that took your mind to impure thoughts and down the road of impure things. These are not the kind of things that please God. Proving what is acceptable to God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, it says. If you have personal integrity, when these things happen, can you say, hey, wait a minute, my friend, you know, we probably shouldn't be discussing this, or we shouldn't be talking like this, or we shouldn't be getting into that. You know what? So many times the opposite of all that happens. Relationships can deteriorate when this is. And you know, I just happen to think about this now. Getting back to the first point I made about having personal integrity. You know, in a youth group or among youth, a group of youth, it only takes one person or two people that don't have personal integrity and that throw this kind of thing into the activity, into the discussion, into whatever, and it deteriorates really, really fast sometimes. It can. And so I just plead with you tonight that you be careful in that and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Number 5, godly relationships will be at peace with each other. You say, well, now what does that have to do with relationships among our youth? I'm going to tell you a little story that happened right here in your community. This is Tioga County here. About 50 years ago, it's not quite 50 years ago yet, but I was among a group of youth up here at a cabin one weekend, right up here at Blackwell's where it was. And we were there at the cabin. I think we showed up on a Friday evening. A number of us boys were there together. And if I remember correctly, it was Saturday night that the train came through Blackwell there along the river. And the train derailed. It had a whole bunch of lumber cars. And the train ran off the track, and the cars were on both sides of the track. The lumber splintered all over the place. The wheels were off. And we had the enjoyment of watching this. Well, it was not long at all until they were moving equipment in there to get that train set up and back on the track. I think it was Saturday evening, late Saturday night, we were up watching this. And one of the boys that was along made the comment, he said, you know, the way they're getting the equipment in here and the way they're working at this, he said, that train, we're going to see that train go down the track yet this weekend. No way, we won't see the train go down the track. A whole bunch of other boys just split up and they started making fun of this. Well, that's exactly what happened. Before the weekend was over, they had that train set up and it went down the track. And this was just a rubbing that was going on between a bunch of these boys. And the one boy got very quiet, very solemn, didn't say anything anymore. He was hurt. You know what? He left there and he held that against some of those boys for years to come. I was one young man that went to visit him and tried to talk to him and tried to, you know, tell him, look, this was just boy fun. They were just kidding each other. But his spirit was wounded deeply. And he carried that grudge. And he wouldn't talk to some of those young men. I don't know if he ever did to some of them again. He passed away. He's not living anymore. But you know, it seems like such a small thing. But this is the kind of thing that can happen, and it goes back to our brother's devotion. It's the kind of thing that the devil brings into our lives and our experiences and can take and make havoc with and hurt people and hurt feelings. We say, well, the young man should have been more mature than that. He should have. But remember, there are those around that are different than we are sometimes. Why am I saying this? I say this because the Bible says that we're to be at peace with each other. Now, I'd like to say a few things about that tonight. I think that one of the ways that youth can be at peace with each other is if youth have good planned youth activities. I like to just promote good planned youth activities. You see, one of the things that happened in that experience was that there was a bunch of boys together who didn't have too much to do for the weekend besides just carry on, and that's what we were doing. We were having fun. We were having the party spirit was there. Things went south, like I said. And because of that, there was some hurts. I'd like to compliment. I think it was just this past summer. My daughter was up here with you all in the youth group. And I think Brother Curtis had planned the weekend. And my daughter came home and she just enjoyed that weekend so much. But I found out the weekend was packed full, planned full. You young people knew what you were doing. You had plenty of activity. You went from one thing to the next. And there wasn't a lot of time for things like this to happen. Is what I gathered, and I think that's how it was, and that's how it should be. I think that youth activities need to be planned. Parental supervision needs to be there. Parents tonight, if we want our youth to have godly relationships with each other, we have a big part to play in this. It's not going to happen if parents sit back and shut their eyes and let the young people go and do their thing. They need supervision, whether they think they do or they don't. And so when we put those kind of things in place, then I think we can follow this Bible principle of having peace with each other. I think it lends itself towards that. It's not a prove all. I know that. It's not everything, but it goes a long way. God desires that we don't have relationships that fall out with each other and are hurt, and we have what I said happened up there. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to begin reading at verse 12. In closing tonight, in conclusion, this is my desire for you. This is what Paul told Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. In other words, in your speech, in the things you talk about, in conversation. That word conversation means your walk of life, the things that you get involved in. It means it's more than your speech. In charity. In other words, care about each other. We talked about that. In spirit. Be real about it. Not just a surface thing. It needs to be deeper than surface things. You need to determine in your heart that this is how our relationships are going to be among our youth. In faith. Faith in each other. Trustworthy. Having faith and confidence in each other. But faith in God as well. Believing that what God says and what God put in place, what the direction God gives you, that is what God wants. Have faith in purity. Tonight, God wants young people to be pure. Do not get involved in anything that's going to mar your purity. And that someday in the future, as you get older, you look back and you have some terrible regrets of things that happened as young people. Tonight, it's up to you, young people. Start with determining on ahead, having personal integrity, where you're going to go with your life, your relationships. Study God's word. Look to God. Pray about it. And I believe that God will. I believe God will give you good relationships. Remember, that's what he wants. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. That's what God wants. He wants you to enjoy the time of youth. And the way that you will enjoy them the most is when you follow God's plan. Let's kneel for prayer.